Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the service tonight. If you will stand, please take your song and let's sing Jesus Loves Me. Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me, I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
Amen, amen. Well, good evening. It's a joy to see you here tonight, and we're thankful to be here on a Wednesday evening, the most encouraging service of the week, and one of the most encouraging things that we've been able to experience today. So pray for our Bible clubs, our boys and girls, our teens and youth group. They're meeting tonight as well, so we're just looking forward to a good evening across our property and all of our ministries, and we're thankful you're here tonight. And we just want to pray together and just begin, have a word of prayer. So let's just look to the Lord and just trust him tonight. Heavenly Father, we are thankful people this evening, God. We call upon you because, God, we believe, Lord, that, God, you are seated tonight in the heavens. God, your throne is higher than any throne. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. And, Lord, we believe that, God, that you have all power in heaven and earth. And, Lord, we're just looking to you tonight. Lord, thank you that you said we can come boldly unto you. And, Lord, as we come to you, there's grace and there's strength. And, Lord, there is wisdom. And, Lord, we need all these things tonight in our hearts and lives. We pray to you now, Lord, tonight on behalf of this service. Minister to people's needs that are here this evening. Lord, we all have so many different areas of need in our life. In many different ways, but God, we're thankful there's one source, and God, that you are that source. And so, Lord, help us to come just sincerely and just transparently before you. And God, you know our heart, and so, Lord, we just want to cast those cares upon you and trust in your goodness and your grace. And Lord, we're just asking you to meet needs and supply, God, for our people. And Lord, through our folks here, may you just meet the needs of your work through our local church. We're praying tonight, God, on behalf of our country. Lord, we're praying for the leadership of our country. And Lord, I pray, God, that Lord, you would work in their heart. And Lord, you would bring them into contact with real born-again believers. And God, they would see, God, through the lives of your people, that there is a true God in heaven. And Lord, that in the end, God, you're going to be glorified and magnified. And so, Lord, we pray, God, Lord, for our country. And Lord, as you have commanded us, we are going to pray for our leaders. And so, Lord, we look to you tonight. And Lord, we thank you, God, that, Lord, we're able to be here this evening. Lord, we can come out, we can meet, we can worship you in spirit and in truth. We can preach your word. Lord, we can go out into our community, into the highways and hedges, and compel men and women, boys and girls, to come to Jesus Christ, to come to church, to hear the word of God. Lord, there is such a great work to be done, And so, Lord, we pray that we'll be busy at the work of God, the things, God, that we right now have a window of opportunity to do. Help us, God, to be passionate about these things. And so, Lord, again, we just look to you tonight. We thank you for this time and what you'll do in our hearts and lives by your Spirit and Word. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. It's a blessing, again, to see you. And thank you for coming and being here on a Wednesday evening. And I enjoyed singing that little song. And it's one of those songs that I wish I knew all the verses as well as I do the first verse, because they're all good, aren't they? And that's why sometimes I like to just sing a song like that, because we forget about the other verses. It's like the national anthem, isn't it? There's more to it than just what we normally sing. And so it's good sometimes to get out a hymn book and read through it and see what was on the heart of the people that the Lord used to write songs like that. And we're thankful for this little song, Jesus Loves Me. No doubt that it's been sung more than any other song by children since it was written. And it was written in 1860. And there were two sisters that wrote this little song. And they wrote it originally as a poem. Anna B. Warner and her sister Susan wrote it together. And these two sisters were a part of a large family. And in the 1800s, their father was struggling to find work. And this was in the middle of the Civil War era. And so our country was in turmoil. And there was a lot of difficulties and lots of people struggling. And to help make ends meet, Anna and her sister began to write books. And they wrote a lot of novels, books. The book that this little poem, Jesus Loves Me, was in, was a book that was entitled Say and Seal, S-E-A-L, Say and Seal. And it was a bestseller in that day. We wouldn't be familiar with it. You can go online and get a digital copy of it and read it if you'd want to. But it was about a pastor, a preacher, and ministering to children. And this little poem the sisters wrote into the story. And the pastor read this, said this poem to a little boy who was dying to comfort him. And it went from there and was put to music by William Bradbury, and just became a tremendous song. The Warner sisters also wrote another very popular children's song, Jesus Bids Us Shine. Jesus Bids Us Shine. That's a great little song as well. And so we're thankful for it, this song and its words and its truths and its comfort and its promise. Not only do children sing this little chorus often, this little song, but it's often taught by missionaries to new converts all around the world. It's one of the first songs they teach them because of the truth that's in it, and that's such a simple song. And so we appreciate it. We're thankful for you singing it with us so well tonight. But we are thankful for you being here and being a part of our Wednesday night services. Don't forget, this coming Sunday is one of the most important Sundays of the year for us, as we have our Vision Day. And we've been praying and just working and seeking the Lord's will on the sermon for Sunday morning, the message the Lord's laid on our heart that has our scriptural thought, that focus for our year that lies ahead. And then Sunday night we'll be putting together a presentation, and we've got that roughed out in an outline, and we're looking forward to sharing so many of the things that the Lord's laid on our heart and we believe is in the heart of God for you. For you, your family, our church, for this coming year. And this day will be its most impactful and helpful when as many of our families participate in it as possible. And so we hope that you'll be here. Make that a special day. Be here Sunday night. If you've never been in a Vision night service, it's different than anything we normally do. And we will start at 5 o'clock just so we can kind of move through those things that we want to cover. And then we'll move over to the ministry center, and we're going to have the opportunity over there for you to put your hands on a lot of material. I've been printing little booklets and things for days. And I don't know through the years how many of them I've written. I probably printed 20 different ones. There's a few new ones, but many of them I've used for years. Most of them you probably have had at one time or another, but if you haven't or you've never read them, I encourage you to get them and read through them. And they're scriptural in their foundation, and they're helpful for your life. And this time of year, it's always helpful to be reminded of very simple truths, because that's where we've dropped the ball. And we talk about that a lot. Living the true Christian life, it isn't about deep theology, and it's not about how many Bible degrees you have. It's just about the simple things. It's about spending time every day in God's Word. It's about having a real prayer life. It's about being faithful to your local church and being involved. It's about giving and investing in the Lord's work. It's about being a witness and trying to get souls to Jesus Christ. Those are the simple, basic things that make up the true Christ-like life, but they are the most difficult things for us to get right. And if we can get them right, then we've got a grip on this thing. And so it's good to be reminded of simple truth. And so there'll be so many things we hope you'll put your hands on and just take the time to read them and look through them. That night is when we began to put down on paper everyone who will be involved in all the ministries and all the different ways that we're serving the Lord throughout the year. And we want you to get involved in that. There's something everyone can do here at our church. Whoever you are, there's ways that you can get involved. There'll be dozens of different ways over there you can serve, maybe things you've never done before, but you can get involved in them, and we'll help you to get your feet on the ground and be involved in it and go with it. And so many different things. Lots of ministry and activity opportunities. We planned a full year just like it was any other year, and we're praying we'll be able to get through and do and participate and experience them all, and you can get involved in those. We've just got to pray and plan and prepare and just take it as we come and do what we can. So we want you to do that as well. There'll be things there that you can request. If you'd like to have a physical paper church calendar, you can sign up, and we're putting the finishing touches on them. If you want a spiritual life journal and you never had one, I'd encourage you to get one. You can order one. They'll look brand new. They've got a lot of new material in them and some things in there I think that will be very helpful. I had some requests by people who use them to put some things in them, and I did, and I did that just for them, and I think you'll benefit from it as well. You can order them, and we'll get them printed for you. There'll be some there. You can pick them up and look at them and see what they're all about. And there'll be other things that you can get involved in or you can request if you want that would be helpful to you. So it's a great day. It's a big day for us. I'm praying. You pray with me. And, again, I've told you before, it's like going out, on a date. Boy, you're all excited about that young lady, and you're going to get to take her out, and you get your best shoes on, you get your best clothes on, and you've got your hair cut, and you're ready for a big night, and then they call and say they aren't coming, don't show up. And so don't make that what Sunday is. Show up, be here, be involved all day, and I'm looking forward to Vision Day, and I can't believe it's already here for the year 2021, so we hope you'll be a part of it. And be involved in Vision Day. I appreciate folks who are helping us with our King's Court ministry, and that's been going well the last couple Saturdays. We've been having practices, and I've been doing the coaching and teaching in the first two practices. So I start at 9 o'clock, and I've got some men helping me, some folks helping us. But I do those practices and kind of. I never realized how difficult it was to yell through a mask for 2 solid hours. It really wears you out. And you can't use a whistle, How can you do that? And so it just seems so awkward not to be able to blow the whistle. So you're constantly trying to yell and get everybody's attention. And then I tell you, I'm just showing my age, but I'm not good for much the rest of the day by the time I run around on the basketball floor for 2 hours. And then I try to just help with that smallest group. But it's going great, and we're looking forward to a good season. We've got a couple weeks of practices left, and we'll begin the games. And we worked through this week and kind of divided up the teams, and so we're looking forward to having a really good year, and we're looking forward to getting to share the gospel with families in our community at a time when people are really looking for some hope and they're looking for some encouragement, and I'm thankful we have it. And we as God's people, I know things aren't the way that most of us would like for them to be. I know we all have our own views about things that have taken place since November and even today. But as God's people, we ought to be the most optimistic people in America. We ought to be focused. We ought to be excited about what God can do and who He is. And we ought to be setting the example and moving forward and getting busy about the things that we can do. There's a lot of things I don't have any control over. I wish I did. It'd be a lot different if I could, if I was in control. You know, you ever think about that? If I could make the decisions, it'd be a lot different, but I can't. But there are things I can be involved in and do, and so I can't let those go just because everything else hasn't fallen out the way I want to. So let's get excited and busy and get focused on this year and get the vision of the Lord for our families and our church. And let's move forward and make this a tremendous year as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for missionaries, of course. We're praying for them. I put up some new prayer letters here this evening before church. We had a tremendous year last year. We'll talk about that. I'll give you a number as to the total amount that we gave as a local church for missions last year, and it'll just be a blessing to you to hear that. That was given just for the support of missions and missionaries around the world, and we were able to grow in our missionaries, pick up new missionaries. We began to set a new precedent of increasing our monthly support for them so that all the new missionaries we begin to support will have an increased monthly support rate. And so it was a great year in missions. Be sure to go by and read the mission letters. I have one I want to read to you tonight from Bob and Judy Van Zant. The Van Zants, our missionaries, they have spent several years in, it's called Crimea now, and they were there in Eastern Europe. They had gotten a great church began, and they were ministering to the deaf. That was their entire ministry, doing a tremendous job, had a wonderful church. They've been over there for years. And if you remember, about 2 years ago, overnight, the government changed in that part of the world. Russia decided to be old Russia again and just drove into the country. And the Van Zants wrote about how they went to bed one night with one group and one place and people in power and woke up the next, and it was a whole nother thing. And the atmosphere changed, and they wound up praying, and the Lord led them to leave the country and come back to the States. And they've left the ministry they started in the hands of believers there that have been born again and saved through their ministry. And so their church is still going, and so they're keeping in contact on it, waiting, praying for the time the Lord might allow them to go back. And then all this happened with this pandemic, and that, of course, shut the doors again. And so what they've done is they are involved right now in a ministry that Baptist International Missions is involved in. It's called Reseeding America. And they take missionaries like the Van Zants, who aren't able to be on their field right now, and they are finding communities in America where there are no churches or Bible-preaching churches, and they're putting them into those areas, and they're helping them to get work started in those areas. And certainly our country is indeed a mission field today. And so the Van Zants for the last year have been in Pennsylvania, John. That's a mission field, isn't it? For sure. And they've been in Pennsylvania, and they have a church started, Berean Baptist Church, and they started the church in in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Don't know where that's at, but that's where they are. And they started it just by renting a room in a building. And now the church has grown to the point where the church is ready to buy a building. And there's a church that closed the doors and went out of business. And they're in the process of contracting that, and they're going to buy that church that's been closed, and they're going to reopen it. And it's going to be a Bible-preaching, independent Baptist church like ours. And so that's a victory. And so I'm excited about that. I hope you'll go by and look at the letter, because it's got a picture of the church on there, and it's a really nice-looking building. But I just want to read it to you. It says, this, of course, was their December letter. It said, "We're thankful that God gave us his dear son. No greater gift could ever be given. We hope this Christmas season, as you reflect on this wondrous gift, your hearts are filled with joy and peace. We're so thankful that the Lord has blessed Judy and I so very much this year. Praise the Lord that we have completely recovered from COVID. Thank you for praying." It says, for the past year and a half, Berean Baptist Church has been meeting in a storefront behind a car wash. And many of you who may be reading this letter have actually visited us and seen the location that we're in and our need for a permanent church facility. Praise the Lord, we've begun the process of purchasing a church building. The building is in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, across from the elementary school, near the Pennsylvania State Fairgrounds. So that sounds like a good location. The price of the building is $195,000. And when you see the picture of the property, that's a bargain. And it's amazing that they're able to buy this for that price. It says it originally started out at $299,000, but now they've agreed at $195,000. Our little church has raised $75,000 for the down payment and the closing costs of $5,500. This church has sat empty for several years, and we're now negotiating with sellers on the cost of a new roof and some heating repairs. We'll not be signing a contract if the roof situation is not dealt with. And he said that's going to cost $23,000. The church that is selling the building has agreed to give us a loan interest-free, $75,000 down payment, 3 years free rent. At the end of the 3 years, we pay the $120,000 balance. Closing is January 6th, tentatively, in 2021. And so what a wonderful way to bring in the new year. And then they've got an update here on their ministry in Crimea. And it has a picture of a lady, and it has her name, Tanya Kratko, went home to be with the Lord on December 18th. She's a wonderful, supportive pastor's wife. She loved the Lord with all her heart, served him faithfully. She was also a sweet friend of Judy and helped us so much in the ministry while we were there. Tanya was one of the first to be saved and baptized in the ministry here. It was her dedicated prayer life that was so influential in leading Slava, her husband, to the Lord. She prayed the whole night through on her knees the night before Slava was saved. Be in prayer for Pastor Slava, as this has left him an empty place in his heart and life. But Tanya's pain is over and her joy begins. In other news, a young deaf man accepted Christ as his Savior and is now attending the church there faithfully. Thank you for your faithful prayers and support of our family through the year. You've been a part of our missionary journey, and we're grateful. And we're praying you'll have a blessed new year, Bob and Judy Van Zandt. So great letter, and encouraging and exciting to see what God's doing even in a really difficult time. And so be sure to go by and read that letter and see those pictures of the church and things that they're able to buy. And we're excited about what they're doing and what the Lord's using them to do there in Pennsylvania. We do want to take just a moment to see if maybe you have something on your heart you'd like for us to pray about with you, and we will. And maybe you have something that you'd like to just let folks know about. Anybody have something this evening? I'd mentioned Sunday about Dr. Cecil Sturgill's wife, Miss Betty, who had passed away. So I remember the Sturgills. They'll have just a graveside service for her on Saturday morning down in Glade, Virginia. That's where she's from. About an hour or so from Kingsport, where Pastor Sturgill and Miss Betty have been there for 50 years. So pray for him and that family. Friend of mine, another pastor friend, preacher friend, Fred Conley. Fred and his family are originally from Colgrove. And Fred worked with Chuck for several years at Chilhowee Baptist Church. Fred was also a missionary in Tanzania for a while. But his dad, they took his dad to the hospital. His dad still lives here by himself in Ironton. And they had to take him to the hospital yesterday. And Fred came up, and so he's been with him all day in the hospital. So you might pray for the Conley family. I talked to him yesterday, and he and Mrs. Guyler are good. And they're going to be with us the first Friday night in March. Going to bring the choir, and they'll be here. So he's looking forward to it. But he had it, but the Lord blessed him, and he's doing okay. So he's ready to go, and they'll be with us, Lord willing, then. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Okay, good. Missy's Uncle Mike and her aunt, so we want to pray for them. Mike and Lana. Okay. Kristen. Good. Amen. Yeah. No kidding. Okay, good. Okay, all right. Amen. Yes. Oh, okay. Richard Cabell. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it's Woody's cousin?
Yeah.
Okay. Mom on your prayer list also. Got some more tests next week. Anybody else have anything? Oh. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else this evening have something? Some of the schools are out, aren't they? Colgrove's 2 weeks virtual, so pray for them. They'll get back in there. All right. Well, we just want to pray about these things and just trust the Lord and look to Him. And we're thankful that we have a God who hears, answers prayer, and can answer all prayer. Thankful for it. So we want to pray and be faithful in prayer. We start a new year. We have a year ahead of us, and we just want to be faithful throughout the year to pray and just look to the Lord, what God can do and what He can accomplish in so many different ways. So let's pray about these things. And we'll take a minute tonight just to lift them up to the Lord. And so let's just take time here to look to the Lord. Father, we thank You again as we pause just a moment through our service here. And well, we do want to lift up these names, all of these circumstances and situations and so many different things, Lord, here that are going on in people's lives. And Lord, above all, we're praying, God, Lord, just that each and every one would know You as their personal Savior. God, if they don't, that, Lord, the circumstances of life, God, will speak to them. And, Lord, it will help them to see and know that, Lord, there is an eternity. And, God, it is in this life that we prepare for it. And so, Lord, I pray that anyone on this list or a name that's been mentioned that's unsaved, God, by grace and mercy, they would be turned to You and receive You as their Lord and Savior. And then, God, they'll have Your help and Your grace and strength in their life. And, Lord, we'll pray that, God, that You'll just use them to bring glory to Yourself. And so, God, You're at work in all these lives. You, God, do Your work, and we pray Your will be done. And, Lord, we're praying for, again, our families. We're praying for, Lord, our schools and communities, our teachers and, Lord, health givers and folks that, Lord, continuing, Lord, to work with those that are sick and in need. And, Lord, we're praying for our schools and students. We're praying, Father, for college students that have gone back to campuses. Lord, we pray You'd hedge them in and just keep their heart and mind, God, from being led astray and filled, Lord, with vain philosophies and things that have to do with the world and the devil. And, Lord, we're praying, Father, that You'll just minister in our community. And, Lord, we're praying that we'll see a work of God here, Lord, beginning in our community. And, Lord, that they can touch God and make a difference in this part of our state and our country that will spread throughout our country. Lord, thank You for the great news of the work that You're doing through the Van Zants in Pennsylvania. God, there's a church there now where people in that community can hear the gospel and get saved. And God, in Pennsylvania, Lord, we know that that's a state, God, that's been inundated with ungodliness and, Lord, people who do not think about things biblically and scripturally, and, God, who do not put, Lord, spiritual things necessarily as the priority in their lives. God, use missionaries like Brother Van Zant and Bible preaching churches in that state, God, all across our country, in our states, to reach families, reach men and women. God, give them a Bible foundation. Help them to view the world through the scriptures. Help them to see, God, that it's the spiritual things that matter. And God, change, Lord, our country. And so we're praying about these things, and we will be faithful to pray. But God, we want to be faithful, God, people. God, we want to obey Your command. God, You said that we ought to be people that are joyful. And God, we're optimistic and hopeful and faithful. And God, we're looking to a God who cannot fail and who never makes mistakes. And Lord, who can do all things. And so, Lord, we're just looking to You. And Lord, may people, Lord, come in contact with You through our lives. Do a work in our church, we pray. May Sunday be a great day. God, may You send families to church that day. May You just bring back those, God, that haven't gotten in to church since they stopped coming. Lord, gather us all together so that we might have a shared vision, God, of what's in Your heart for us, and to see, God, what You want to do in this coming year. And, Lord, strengthen us through it, we pray. And so we'll thank You for all these things. We ask them in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. All right. Well, we are thankful for those things, and we do want to pray with you about all of that, and thankful for answered prayer. Well, we do want to take time tonight just to take our Bibles for a while and open them up here to the Old Testament. And I want you to find the book of Hosea. Hosea is one of the minor prophets. He's right next to the book of Joel, and he's right past the book of Daniel. And it's a small book. There's 14 short chapters. And Hosea was a prophet. He prophesied about the same time as Isaiah, and prophesied primarily to Israel. And so we want to look into God's Word tonight. And I really want to take the time to read you a portion of this book. And I want to begin in chapter 13. So if you can find chapter 13, I want you just to follow along in your Bible. I just want to read you some scripture. And I want you to get this in your mind and picture it in your mind of what was happening in the nation, what it was like, and what God was doing and what God wanted to do. And I want to preach, just for the time we have tonight, on this subject, the resurrection of a dead nation. The resurrection of a dead nation. Hosea chapter 13, and beginning in verse 1, the Bible said, "When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more, and have made the molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away, and as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. And thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. And therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities, and thy judges of whom thou saidest, give me a king and princes? I gave thee a king in mine anger and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is as an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come, the wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord, saying to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him, and I'm like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. I will stop right there, but I want you to notice as we read through this passage of Scripture, in the very first verse of chapter 13, notice that last phrase, just those two words, he died. Now the he, God, is personifying the nation of Israel. He's talking about a nation, and he says that nation died. It died. But as we read it through this passage of Scripture, we find that there is a resurrection that takes place, that will take place, the resurrection of a dead nation. And I just want you to notice this today. You know, if we read in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins. You hath he quickened. The word quickened means he made you alive. The Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God has made us alive through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. When we're born again by faith in Christ, we're given life. We are passed from death, dead in our trespasses and sins, and made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, only God has the power to raise the dead. Only God can do that. And this is true in the life of a man physically. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was able to raise the dead. He had the power just through his voice to raise the dead. He can raise the dead physically. He's the only one that can do that. And he's the only one who can give spiritual life. The wages of sin is death. We're dead in our trespasses and sins, dead and separated from God. But in Jesus Christ, there is life. He can bring us from the death of our sin and separation to God into life and fellowship with Jesus Christ. Only God can do that. But that's also true in the lives of nations. God has the power to raise a dead nation. And we see that in the life of the nation of Israel. We see it in Israel's life. When we read Hosea chapter 13 and 14, we're reading about the death of Israel, but we're also reading about the resurrection of Israel, a nation that died unto God, and then God resurrected them. And God has got a work that he's still doing, ongoing in the life of this nation of Israel, and he's not finished with them yet. We who are alive today are witnesses to what God prophesied of and promised nearly 3,000 years ago. When we read this in the book of Hosea, this is almost 3,000 years ago. And the things God said that he was going to do, the things God said would come to pass, we are witnessing those things in our lifetime. We're witnessing God keeping his word. We're witnessing God's resurrecting power in the life of a nation. Hosea chapter 13, he says in the 14th verse, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. He said, O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Now those are powerful statements that the Lord makes. But they are not vain boastings by God, because they are promises made with divine authority. And we know that they have been brought about, these promises, they've been brought about by God's almighty power. There was no nation of Israel. They were dead. And they had disappeared into the world, absorbed by the nations of the world. And then in some of your lifetimes in 1948, you saw them resurrect from the dead. God brought them in from the grave and reestablished them. And they are now a nation alive. They are a growing nation. They are a powerful nation. They are a fruitful nation. They are a nation God has His hand on. They once were dead and now they're alive. We see the resurrection of a dead nation. Sometimes, you know, we ask ourselves, why does God include a book like Hosea in the Bible? What possible use can it be for us? We're not Jews. We're not part of the nation of Israel. That's not our country. That's not our nation. All of these things we read about here in Hosea happened years and years ago, centuries ago. Why does God put something like this in His Word? Because God knows the day that we're going to be living in and what we're going to face in the future as His people of today. And God has given us His Word. I believe we can see and understand how alive and relevant God's Word is for our lives as we are living in and witnessing the things that are going on in our nation today. I've been reading through these. I've preached through several of these minor prophets over the past month or two. I would preach and try to just give you the key truth from that book of the Bible. And these books have been a source of encouragement to me in the day we live in with what we're seeing going on in our country today. And so we find as we read a book like this, we see God recorded what happened to His people Israel, what He did in judging them so that we can learn those lessons and apply them to our nation. And God has shown us His heart in these books. What He will do according to His mercy and grace when His people get to the place where they look to Him, where they get to the place where they have no place up but up to look, to seek the face of God, to seek the favor of God again through repentance and a return to faithfulness in the Lord, God shows us what is in His heart for us, for His people. God has given us, I believe, this book of the Bible, these truths we read about here in His relationship with Israel to encourage us today, to give us hope in God's mercy and grace, and to turn to us to seeking the Lord as we've never done before, because there's mercy and grace still within the heart of God. And so we're looking at the resurrection of a dead nation. Notice these things just real quickly. I'll try to give them to you. You can write them down. Why death came to Israel. Why it came. In Hosea, we find a spiritual autopsy here God performs. I mean, have you ever watched Forensic Files or one of those crazy shows, you know, where they establish the cause of death and all those different kind of things? And this is what Hosea is in this portion of it. In chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible said, "When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel, but when he offended in Baal, he died." What is it God's saying? Well, first of all, I want you to understand the word Ephraim is a pet name for Israel that's used by God. You and your loved one have a pet name? Or did you have a pet name you called one another? Maybe no one else ever called you that, but they did. And it was something special. It could have just been honey. You know, sometimes men, maybe they don't ever say their wife's name, but they'll call them honey, or they'll say something like that, an endearing thing. That's what this is. Ephraim, literally, was one of Joseph's sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And you remember, they kind of got grafted in, didn't they, as kind of a half tribes added to the 12 tribes, Joseph's sons. Ephraim means blessings and plenty. And God called the nation of Israel Ephraim. It was a pet name He had for them. And He says here, when Israel worshiped the Lord and exalted Him. Notice the phrase, when they spake trembling. You know what that means? That means when they had humbled themselves. And when they spoke about God in fear and trembling. Not in pride, not in arrogancy, did they use the name of God. We live in a day where we see that all the time. You know, everybody in the world's got a touch of religion. Every politician in America is a Christian if you ask them. But when Ephraim, when they literally were true and sincerely speaking about Jehovah God with reverence and fear and trembling, God said, I exalted them. I exalted them. I was alive among them. He inhabits the praise of his people. He was alive in the midst of his people. But the Bible said when they offended in Baal, God said they died to me. There's nothing worse than family problems. Problems get in a family. Something happens, someone gets mad. Maybe it's a father at a son, or some situation happens and someone in that family says, well, I don't want anything to do with them. They're dead to me. You know what I mean by that? You've heard people say that. They're dead to me. I don't want anything to do with them. This is what God said. They died. When they turn from me in fear and trembling and exalting me in sincerity and humility, and when they turn to worshiping Baal, they died to me. When they forsook God and turned to false gods, and when there's idolatry, the person, the entity being worshiped in idolatry is always going to be Satan. He's the one going to receive the worship, whether the people in idolatry understand it or not. There was nothing left to God when they turned to Baal of his people but a lifeless corpse. He said, they died. They died. Verse number 2, and now they sin more and more and have made the molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding. All of it, the work of the craft of men, they say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. They used to take the calves down to the temple, and with fear and trembling and obedience to God's commandments, they gave the sacrifices and made the offerings. And now the craftsmen who are making the idols are saying, if you want to make a sacrifice, then come and kiss this calf that we've made with our own hands. Among the sins of Israel that led to their death was the sin of idolatry. Idolatry is very simply the worship of a god of your own creation and imagination. It doesn't have to be a physical casting, carving of an image. It can happen within your heart and mind. You can make your own god within your heart and mind and worship him. You don't have to have it sitting on a shelf. You don't have to be able to hold it with your hands. When a person or a people or a nation refuses to see God as he reveals himself in his word, when they refuse to believe he is who he says that he is and begin to fashion him in their own hearts and minds to fit their own lives and to excuse their own sin and faithlessness, that is idolatry. And that is a problem in our country. Oh, there's a lot of people who would profess to believe there's a God in America, but it's the God they made. It's a God they've created who fits their sin and excuses it and fits into their way of life, and they're making up their God in their heart and mind, and that is idolatry. And God said that's one of the things that led to the death of the nation of Israel. A born-again believer can be guilty of idolatry. When we ignore the clear teachings of God's word and the express will of God, and we go on about our lives without regard to or recognition of our accountability to God, then we're making another God. Because the true and living God is going to hold us accountable. We might think our God's never going to bring us before him and we're never going to have to give an account, but that's not true. And if that's who you think your God is, and that you're going to be able to live any way you want to and ignore the clear teachings and will of God for your life, then you're making a God in your heart and mind that's not the true and living God. When we think God doesn't really care about our personal purity or holiness, about the devotion of our heart to him above else, about walking in fellowship daily with the Lord, confessing and forsaking sin and staying clean through his blood, if we think that's not who the true and living God is, then we're guilty of idolatry because we're making God out to be someone he really isn't. when we think we belong to ourselves and that all we are and have are ours to do with as we please, we're worshiping a false god, because God doesn't think that way. We're guilty of making ourselves our own personal god who fits our mold or who we want God to be. Hosea said in verse 3, "Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that's driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney." God told Israel, regardless of who you think you were or who they had reduced God to being in their heart and mind, they were in reality no more than a drifting cloud. There one moment and gone the next. They were no more in reality than the morning dew that the sun burns away, or the chaff of wheat that the wind blows away, or the smoke from the chimney that rises and dissipates and disappears. God said, you're nothing more than that. You've died. You're dead to me. They thought they were alive. They thought they were living life to their definition of the fullest, but God pronounced them dead spiritually in their relationship with Him. Anytime we replace Jesus Christ as the center and source of life, we're dead to what true life is. Listen, as a born-again believer, I can never lose my salvation. I can't lose it. God gave me eternal life, and that life is eternal. And I will live someday in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the journey getting there can be one to where I will not be ashamed to stand before Him at the judgment seat, or it can be one where I will be ashamed to stand before Him and I'm going to lose everything that I live my life for in this world. The choice is ours. The choice is ours. As a born-again believer, I can never lose my salvation. I will always have eternal life, but I can lose what life is all about in this world. I can live and get and gain and never realize that I don't have the hand of God upon my life. I'm not realizing God's will for my life, that my life and labor is dead to God because it isn't centered upon Him. James chapter 1 verse 14 said, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and then when the lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death." Sin brings death. Our sin debt, the fact that we were sinners, brought death and his separation from God. That's why we need to be saved. We need to be born again. We needed that sin debt paid. But even after we're saved, sin will still bring about the death of that vitality of that experience of life that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Death occurred in the nation of Israel when they lost their consciousness of God, the true God of His Word. When they stopped acknowledging Him, they died to Him. We're watching the dying process of our country, aren't we? Little bit at a time. Little bit at a time. The soul of our country dying steadily as we as a country forget who God is. As we as a country forget who we are. We're forgetting who we are, how we depended upon God. When we no longer give our lives to the Lord, give the Lord His place in our lives, we're dying. And as we turn from God, we turn from life. And when there's not enough life left within a body, it dies, and there's nothing left but the corpse. And God looked at the body of what had once been a nation alive to Him. They were conscious of Him once. They couldn't live without Him once. But now God said, He's dead. He's dead. Notice number two, what the picture of this corpse shows us. And I can't take time for all this, but read verse 4 down through verse number 6 and let your spiritual imagination run away with you, because God paints a gruesome picture of the corpse of Israel. God said not only did Ephraim die, but here's how it happened. Here's the photos, if you will. Notice he said that in verse 7 and 8, that he was going to be unto them as a lion and as a leopard observing them, and he was going to meet them as a bear that's bereaved of her whelps, and he's going to rend them and devour them and tear them. That's an ugly picture, isn't it? This wasn't a pretty death. It wasn't going to be pretty. that lifeless corpse was unrecognizable of who it used to be. How many times have we said it? I don't recognize the America today as opposed to the one 25, 30, 40 years ago. And that was the same with Israel. They weren't the same. They were unrecognizable as the people of God. You couldn't tell them after death. What happened? How did it happen? Who did that to them? Notice what verse 9 said, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Thou hast destroyed thyself. Nothing more horrifying than what someone might do to themselves, is there? Death is sad when it happens, but when someone inflicts things upon themselves, that's even more horrible, isn't it, if it can be? And this is what the Bible said that happened to them. That's the end result of what they wanted, what they lusted after, what they were willing to sacrifice all for. It left them that way, ripped and torn to pieces and rended. And that's the end result. God, though, reveals his heart to them. He says in verse 9, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but, and there's that little word that makes such a big difference, but in me is thine help. Now that would be ridiculous for you and me to go up to a dead man and say, listen, don't worry, I'm going to help you. It would be useless for me to do that. But not God, because we're dealing with a God who can raise the dead, aren't we? And God said, I'm your help. Verse 14, I'll ransom you, ransom them from the power of the grave. I'll redeem them from death. And then he says to death, death, I'm going to be what plagues you. And God said to destruction, grave, I'm going to destroy you, he said to the grave. God watches here, and God is waiting, and God is willing to bring resurrection to a dead nation, to a dead people. The last thing I just want you to write down, the confession that God is waiting for. God's a God who forgives sin. I can go anywhere in the world and talk to anyone alive, and I can share with them the gospel, and I can tell them with all the authority of the Scripture that God forgives sin, and he forgives all sin. If you'll confess it and forsake it, God will forgive you and cleanse you. We can say that to anyone. In Hosea 14:1, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. Thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. God says, O Israel, God is pleading with his people. He's revealing the tenderness of his heart toward his nation. Verse 2, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say you to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. God gives us a picture of what it means to repent of our sin in our lives, to turn to God and repent and forsake that sin, put it out of our hearts and lives. And God wants his people to turn to him for his mercy's sake. For the reason that they know that God is gracious and that God has loved them with an everlasting love and has purchased them for all eternity. God wants people to repent and turn to him and be forgiven and cleansed for the very sake that God is a gracious, forgiving, merciful God. To do it for his sake. That's why God was pleading with Israel to turn to him. Hosea 14, verse 3, the country says, Asher will not save us, will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our God. For in thee, in God, even the fatherless find mercy. Even the fatherless. God wants us to lose all hope and reliance in anyone and anything but him. That's not an easy process to go through. It's not easy to get stripped down and broken to where there's no one left to turn but God. That is a hard process. It's hard for us to do that. It's hard. And it doesn't happen overnight. I believe in America, we're in the tearing down, breaking down, ripping away stage till we realize as a country there isn't anything for us, no hope but in God. And we're not there. Even among God's people, we're not there. We're still putting our hope in a politician, a man, a movement, a party, a philosophy, an ideology. And again, I don't want anybody to ever misunderstand me. I'm a patriotic person. I'm going to fight for my right, and I'm going to keep trying to serve God and preach His word and live the life I believe He wants for me to live, and I want that for my country. But until we get to the point where there is nothing that crosses our mind in the way of help but God, He's going to keep going until He brings us to where we have nothing else to look but Him. And then once we get there, He's waiting. He's waiting for us to turn to Him. He's waiting for us to look for Him. He wants us to lose all reliance in anyone and anything. In Him alone is life. In Him alone is there love and mercy and grace. And as a nation, we must come to the place where we understand that nothing can heal us and help us but God. For our nation to realize that, it has to begin in my heart. We have to be sure we don't ever get it backwards. The hope for our country isn't going to start in Washington and trickle its way down. It's going to start right in your seat, and it's going to spread out and up. And that's the way help's going to come, because that's the way it's going to glorify God. That's the way God's going to work. It's going to begin in us. It's going to begin in our homes. It's going to begin in our church, in our community, and move forward and move outward. And it has to begin in our heart, in our life. Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. God is waiting for His people to remember that our lives are in Him. Life is in Him. Hosea 14:4, I will heal their backsliding. If there was ever a country that was low down, no good for nothing, unworthy of the grace and mercy of God, we all could say and point the finger at Israel. Just look at the 40 years of the wilderness. And that was just the beginning of their unfaithfulness to God. And God took them to the pinnacle under David and Solomon, greatest nation in the world, in the history of the world. And then He brought them down and destroyed them and left them dead. And now they're alive again, aren't they? They're not all they will be, because God's not done with them yet. He's still got more He's going to do for them and in them. But they're off of life support. They're breathing on their own. Ezekiel looked at that valley, you remember, and it was filled with bones. Dry bones, very dry. And God said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? He's talking about the dead nation of Israel. And Ezekiel said, God, thou knowest. Thou knowest. And so the bones stood up, and they began to shake and rattle, and then skin became upon them again. And they stood there, the Bible said, a great army, and yet there was something missing. There wasn't any life in them. And God is that life. And without God, there isn't that life. And we're a country that needs the life of God again. But the way it's going to come is not from the top down. It's going to come from you and I out and upward. So may the Lord help us. God said, I'll heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread and his beauty shall be as the olive tree. I refuse to lose hope that there's still a revival possible in our country. It is bad. And we're old enough to know it can get worse than it is, isn't it? It can get worse. It can get worse. It will not come, though, the help we have through politics, education. I know some of you are involved in education. It's not going to come through education or politics or even the mandating of morality. And we're an immoral country. But it's not going to even come through morals. There's going to have to be a spiritual revival, a spiritual awakening in our country. And God's the only one who can do that. And so I want you just to take this scripture, and I want you to see what God did. God resurrected a dead nation. And I believe that that's within God's heart to do for a nation like our nation, a people like our people, people within this nation that are God's people. If we'll look to Him, if we'll look to the Lord. Well, we're going to stop right there. We appreciate you being here on Wednesday evening. Be praying for Saturday. We'll have our King's Court ministries going on. And then Sunday morning, we hope you'll be here all day. Be in building with the Bible Hour. Bring your children or grandchildren for Sunday school. We're looking at having and developing a biblical vision for 2021. This coming week, we're going to look at having a biblical vision for God's work in the world. And we want to be able to see what God is doing and see there's a place for us in it. And so we'll be looking at that Sunday morning. Then Sunday morning service, we're going to be revealing that scriptural thought and theme and scripture. And Sunday night, our vision night presentation. So we're excited about it. We want you to be here as well. Well, why don't we stand together? And we're going to pray and be dismissed and pray for one another. And pray for God's power and pray for all of our hearts and lives just to just embrace the Lord and just seek Him and just get busy with the things that we can do for the glory of God as He leads and guides us. So let's just finish in prayer and we'll just look to the Lord. Brother John, you just dismiss us in prayer, please.